You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It was 2009 when then Private First Class Bo Bergdahl left his post in Afghanistan. This led to him being held by the Taliban for several years until his release in a prisoner exchange in 2014. The Army later brought him up on charges of desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. He pled guilty and got a dishonorable discharge. His story is now the focus of a new book called American Cipher, Bo Bergdahl and the U.S. Tragedy in Afghanistan. Bergdahl was raised in the Wood River Valley of Idaho, and this book takes us back not just to what happened in Afghanistan, but Bo's life before the military. Michael Ames is co-author of the book. He is a contributor to Newsweek and Harper's, and he spent 9 years in Idaho working as a reporter and an editor. Michael joins us by phone now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So what fascinated me about the book, honestly, as I read it, was how you took us back to Bo Bergdahl's life before he ever entered the military. Why was that important for you to lay that foundation in the book?
Having lived in the Wood River Valley and in Idaho for a little under 10 years, I thought it was extremely important to help people understand where he grew up, how it shaped him, and how it explained certain aspects of what he had done and what happened to him.
You know, I completely got that sense, especially when you talked about how he kind of had this godmother, Kim, in the book, and how she had this coffee shop and he would kind of have these odd jobs. And if you live, you know, in Idaho or you visited the Wood River Valley, this culture of the Wood River Valley really comes out in that book. And if you are living somewhere in the United States, you may not understand that without reading it. And is that part of it too, is so people can understand the culture?
Absolutely. For your average reader in Ohio or Florida or New Jersey who has a mall around the corner, it's hard to conceive of what life is like 8 miles outside of Haley, Idaho in a canyon. It's hard to imagine that could look comfortable to someone like Bergdahl, and that he could see the landscape and say, well, I can hack this. I can go out and walk 18 miles because I've done that before where I grew up, and I know I can do it.
Well, and you talk about that the terrain in Afghanistan is similar to the high desert in Idaho. And even someone, you know, myself, having lived here for going on 20 years, I didn't have that connection until I read the book.
It's really remarkable, and as we discovered through our interviews, and we talked at length to Bergdahl's parents, you know, they had at one point a government intelligence operative show up at their doorstep offering help to Bob and his efforts, and the first thing he said to them when he arrived is, I can't believe how much it looks like the Afghan-Pakistan border region right here in your own backyard.
Wow. So talk to me about these interviews with Bo Bergdahl's parents, because you did, what, more than 20 hours of interviews with his parents? How did all of that come about?
Well, so some of it happened with my co-author, Matt Farwell, who's a former Army infantryman who fought in the same part of Afghanistan that Bergdahl did. He held some of those interviews, the first interviews, when Bergdahl was still captive. Mm-hmm. He was a reporter working then for Rolling Stone, and there was a story in 2012 that they sat with the Bergdahl. But then I fast forward many years to just last year, sat with them again for more than 16 hours of them going into great detail about their whole ordeal and what they went through after their son was recovered.
And talk to me about that, because, you know, in the beginning of the book, as you set the scene about Bo's life before going into the Army, there was some tension between himself and his parents. But, you know, being a parent myself, I think that that's also that's natural.
Sure. And,
right.
And they would laugh about it. I mean, there was one incredible anecdote they told about shortly after Bergdahl was recovered, and he was in the hospital, the U.S. military hospital in Germany. And one of the first things that his parents heard from his caretakers there was, they said, well, Bo is very headstrong. And it just made them laugh because they thought, well, we've known this all along.
Right. We've known that since the day he was born.
Right.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Michael Ames. He's the co-author of the book American Cipher, Bo Bergdahl and the U.S. Tragedy in Afghanistan. Also in the book, you go way back to before 9/11. And this is kind of setting the scene as to even why the United States got into this war to begin with. So it was almost like these two perfect storms colliding in a way, would you say?
Definitely. And the U.S. war that we're familiar with, that's been going on for 18 years, started after 9/11. But U.S. involvement and U.S. meddling dates back much further. And Afghanistan has really been undergoing armed conflict now for 40 years. And as soon as the Soviets invaded in late 1979, we were very quickly involved in a covert operation there. It was the largest U.S. covert military operation in history.
Right. I mean, that was the thing. There's a passage in the book where you talk about then President Jimmy Carter and what incoming President Ronald Reagan was thinking about this with the whole Russia situation. And as I read that, I was like, it was just eye opening, I think, even for those of us who remember when the war in Afghanistan started 18 years ago, just how far back this goes.
And an even more eye-opening realization that we discovered was that Bergdahl's father, Bob, when he first moved to Idaho with his wife, it was in 1980, and he moved there because he had been a Olympic cyclist training in Colorado, and he had been invited and was training to get onto the U.S. Olympic team. And what happened then? The Soviet war began, and Washington boycotted the Olympics, and Bob's Olympics dreams were dashed, and he decided to start his life new in Idaho.
How important was it for you to tell this story through so many different interviews, not just with Bo Bergdahl's parents, but with the sworn testimony from Bo Bergdahl, not just to tell the story, but you having lived in the Wood River Valley, having kind of seen firsthand what happened to this community when Bergdahl was taken captive.
And what happened when he was returned.
Right.
And it was very important to me to set the record straight because, look, I had friends who received death threats for making the mistake of saying on camera that they were happy that Bo was alive. To me, that was that whole chapter there that happened in the summer of 2014 is Exhibit A in a serious indictment against the U.S. political media and the political system, and how not only one person could be exploited to score political points, but an entire community.
So in your opinion, with this book, do you think Bo Bergdahl was seen as a villain or a hero, or can we even put those labels on him?
Yeah, I wouldn't put one label on him. I think history will see him as the figure who revealed hidden truths about the war, as an individual whose own survival turned into something much greater than just his own life.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for him to survive, the U.S. and the Taliban needed to talk to one another. And he was the thing that really catalyzed the peace process that began under the Obama administration and is carrying on now. And it's carrying on now in a way that really should be front page news, because the Trump administration is currently holding peace talks with the Taliban in Doha. And among the Taliban they're negotiating with are the very same five guys who were traded in exchange for Bo Bergdahl.
Wow. That says a lot, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the full circle of history, but it also shows the hypocrisy of American politics, particularly at this moment.
What do you hope the reader takes away from this look at history?
I think that aside from Bergdahl and the community and what they were put through and his family, I think it's important to know that the soldiers who went looking for him are also heroes in their own right. These guys went out there and did what they were told and went looking for him on search missions when their commanders at the highest levels already knew that he was no longer in Afghanistan. They were used as well. And the whole story, what we discovered and what readers will see, is a story really of exploitation of those with no power by those at the highest levels of power in our military and government.
And let's round this out with Bo and his family today. Since you did spend so much time with his parents, how are they doing today after this ordeal?
Well, I think everybody's trying to move on. I think everybody's happy with the outcome that he was not put back in prison, that he can get on with his life, and can be grateful that at the end of the day, sanity and morality carried the day in not only getting him back, but now in bringing an end to the war. And for them, I think they can have some solace in the fact that their son and their family went through this awful ordeal, but they also became in their own way a part of this peace process. And they should be, I think history will look back on him in that way, and they can feel good about that.
It is a fascinating read, and I'm sure it took many hours, many months to uncover this and write this book. So I appreciate you taking some time out today to talk to us more about this in depth.
Thanks. I'm so happy to talk to you as well.